place he ain't been in a long time. Luke's Gospel, chapter number 10. I didn't get finished last night. So I'm going to pick up where I left off, and I'll try not to preach as long tonight as I did last night. I didn't realize I preached over 15 minutes last night. I knew I was awful tired for some reason this morning. But my friend Brother Billy, he keeps up with it, and he said it was a long sermon. I said, Billy, my preaching ain't long, your religion's short. Well, you can't say that about him, you don't know him. But anyway, it's good tonight to be here, and I got so many precious memories. I told my wife, I called her, I talked to my wife. Now that we got cell phones, you know, used to. How many remember when you had to reverse the charges? Then they come out with the calling cards. Now, praise God, we got the cell phone, amen? And they used to ask Mace Jackson, he used to call Dot every morning at 9 o'clock and every night at 10 or 11 o'clock. And that's in them days when you had to reverse the charges. And some little preacher said to Brother Mace, he said, don't that get awful expensive talking to your wife long distance twice a day? He said, yeah, but it's cheaper than paying alimony. Yeah, but I was talking to my wife and telling her how many precious people that remembered us 27 years ago. Man, just starting out. And I said, honey, some of those people are still serving the Lord and still got a song in their heart. And I said, Mama, you know, when you get a certain age, you start calling your wife Mama. I would tell you what she calls me, but this is church. But anyway, but I said, Mama, I said, some of us stood there and lied to each other. What do you mean? I said, I told them they ain't changed a bit, and they told me I hadn't either. She said, you're lying right there, buddy, I'm going to tell you. But I just love it. I want you to keep this old-timey meeting going, and I want to just serve notice on the devil. We ain't giving up. And I appreciate it. Good to see old Sam over there, and he's green. St. Patrick's Day's in March, Sam, but anyway, I just love him so much. And I love these fellas up here. Well, one fellow, the other one left. But anyway, there he is. And somebody asked me, said, where does Brother Tim go when he gets through leading the choir? He goes right out there and smokes him a big cigarette and he comes back in. But the Lord is good. If you're saved tonight, raise your right hand. If you know it, raise your left hand. If you're glad about it, raise both of them. Praise God. Turn to somebody beside of you and say, I'm so saved, it's pitiful. Praise God. Amen. Now, you don't want to miss tomorrow night. Brother Fox sitting right here will be preaching tomorrow night. A great man of God. Then Thursday and Friday, a young preacher just getting started. Brother Steve Dagenhart will be here Thursday and Friday. And next week, if you have never heard Leonard Fletcher, you need to come next week and hear Brother Leonard. He's got the craziest titles anybody ever heard of. But boy, oh boy, what a preacher. What a preacher. Maybe he'll preach one night next week. You tell him to. He'll pray about it. Tell him to preach on that sermon he's got. On what? I ought not to steal his thunder, but I can't help it. What Bigfoot, the Loch Ness Monster, and the perfect preacher have in common. Now think about that. Bigfoot, I married to her daughter, but anyway, Bigfoot, the Loch Ness Monster, and the perfect preacher. You know what they got in common? Nothing. They don't exist. Don't tell him I stole his thunder, but you'll enjoy his ministry. And I'm glad to be among friends tonight. Brother Benson, so good to see you. Your dad was a great blessing to me in my early, early years of the ministry. And I love you, man. It's good to see you tonight. Luke's Gospel, chapter number 10. And we're not going to read the first part of the parable. I'll just bring you up to where we are. I read last night this great event about the man that went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among the thieves, and how that he is a picture of you and I, in our lost condition. The thieves stripped him of his raiment. They wounded him, and then they departed and they left him half dead. Last night we all agreed that this man could not help himself. Neither can the sinner outside of the grace of God. He cannot save or help himself. The priest came by and couldn't or wouldn't help him. The Levite came by and couldn't or wouldn't help him. And so while he's laying there, he can't help himself, and it looks like nobody can help him either. But praise God, somebody came along that looked beyond his fault and saw his need. And in spite of him being mortally, deeply wounded and naked and deserted, he had compassion on him, went to him, bound up his wounds, pouring in the oil and the wine, and remember, brought him to the inn. That's where our thought has been, on that inn. He did not only leave him like he found him, he did not leave him where he found him. Can I say that again? When God saved you, he didn't leave you like he found you. Nor did he leave you where he found you. In fact, the Holy Ghost just said, just tell him, I ain't never left at all. But you know what I mean. I'm glad that God didn't save us and leave us in that same condition. But he brought us to a place, an inn, a lodge, a home away from home, while we're on our way home. I'm glad for God's church, his inn in the wilderness, our home away from home, where God has brought us. And I'm glad there's help in this inn, a place where the stranger's welcome, a place where the weary are rested, a place where the hungry are fed, a place where the dirty are cleansed, a place where the traveler can lay down his load. It's not his home, but it's his home away from home. I enjoy saying that. While he's on his way home. This world is not my home. But I'm glad I got a place called the church in this world. That is my home away from home. While I'm on my way home. And remember, the title of my sermon will keep the light on for you. Because aren't you glad when Christ died at Calvary, he kept the light on for you and I. He not only found us and saved us, but brought us to an end. I got to my first point last night. Remember that? Number one, it is a place for the recovery of the sinner. That good Samaritan poured in the oil and the wine and brought him to this inn and took care of him. That oil and wine is a picture of the Holy Ghost and the blood of Christ. And I'm glad the Holy Ghost and the blood of Christ can get you up over and beyond what you were before God saved you. And it was in that inn, it was in this place, where he got to stay under the influence. I enjoy saying that too. Under the influence of the oil and the wine. Because he told that host, you do what I did. You take care of him. And I believe the host kept pouring in the oil and the wine. He was recovering from a fall. He was recovering from being mortally wounded. He was recovering from his past. Because in that inn is a place where the sinner can recover. And you know what all of us are tonight? We are recovering sinners. Getting over and beyond what we were, what we did before God came into our heart. And I believe this, if you don't stay in that inn under the influence of that oil and wine, you may wind back up right there where you were before. I've got some people that I know, they believe that anybody backslides, they wasn't saved at all. Well, the only problem is that you can't find that in the Bible. You say, preacher, what do you think happened? Some people, they get saved, and they start going to church, or they start living for God, and the next thing you know, they're back out in the world again. A lot of times, they didn't stay in that inn. They didn't stay under that influence of that oil and wine, and they didn't build up that power to resist the pull from the world. But aren't you glad when God saved you, He had a place for you? And how many of you tonight are still recovering from your past, man? And aren't you glad in this place is where the sinner can recover? And I want to come tonight to my next two points, and I like this next one. It is not only a place for the recovery of the sinner, but notice down in our text tonight, it is a place for the responsibility of the saved. It is a place for the responsibility of the saved. Now notice in our text, there's a man that has fallen. And in the parable, there is the Good Samaritan. There's another character in the parable that we overlook sometime. And the King James says, He's the host. Remember, it says in our text that He brought him to the inn and said to the host, you take care of him. And He gave him what he needed before he left. That host is a picture of you and I. You know what a host is? He is somebody that welcomes strangers. He is somebody that feeds the hungry. He is somebody that rests the weary. He is somebody that pours his life into others and expects nothing in return. Boy, aren't you glad when God saved you, He got you under the ministry of a host. He put you in the friendship and the fellowship of the host. Now, a lot of us grew up in Christian families, and when we got saved, man, we was already going to church. We already knew how to live right. We already knew how to dress right. I live right before I got saved. Somebody said, why'd you fear God? No, I just feared my daddy. Why'd you fear him? Because he was a whooper. I didn't say a spanker. I said a whooper. You say, Brother Arthur, what's the difference between a whooping and a spanking? If you don't know, you ain't never had one. You will forget a spanking. You will get over a spanking. But you will remember to the day you die if you ever had a whooping. My daddy would have beat the devil out of me if I'd have got involved in that stuff. But God had to save me just like He had to save somebody else that was in that stuff. But a lot of people didn't have a dad to guide them and a mother to pray for them. And a lot of people, when they got saved, they didn't have nothing to wear. They didn't know nothing to say. They couldn't even talk without cussing or taking God's name in vain. They didn't know anything about the Bible. They didn't know how to pray. They didn't know how to tithe. They didn't know how to live the Christian life. They were ignorant of what God had said just because they didn't know any better. But aren't you glad that when you got saved and you didn't know any better, God put you in somebody's life who did know better. And instead of them judging you, hello, and browbeating you, and condemning you, they were your host. They nurtured you. They fed you. They welcomed you. They poured their life into yours. The New Testament term is, they not only evangelized you, but they discipled you. And I believe this is one area where our churches have failed miserably. Now, there's not a man in America that believes in going out and winning the lost more than I do. I am not a Calvinist. I'm not kin to Calvinists. Calvinists depress me. I am a first-class, bona fide, car-toting, door-knocking, track passer-outer, bus-running, Sunday school promoting, whosoever will, let them come. You know, if a Calvinist had a t-shirt, you know what it would say? Calvinist, some lives matter. Now, you'll get that after a while. Brother, I believe in witnessing and reaching the lost. But our responsibility, brother, pastor, as a church and as a preacher, doesn't end in getting them just saved. We are to disciple them, train them, teach them. Because as newborn babes in Christ, they've got to have room and a place to grow in the Lord. This man is half dead when he is found. He is naked when he is found. He is mortally wounded when he is found. He is friendless and penniless when he is found. But you wait. After he sits in that inn, well, glory, under the influence and ministry of that host, that man that's going to make him welcome, that man that's going to feed him, that man that's going to bathe him, that man that's going to love him, that man that's going to train him, that man that's going to befriend him, that man that's going to pour his life into his, he's going to be a new person. He's going to be a better person. He's going to make a new person because somebody was a host to him and poured their life into his. Boy, that's where we fit in tonight. We're the host in the house. If anybody ought to make strangers welcome, it ought to be you and I. If anybody ought to love the hungry and hurting, it ought to be you and I. If anybody ought to be able to tell an old sinner what God can do, whoop, it ought to be you and I. Because you know what? We can tell them, what God did for me, He can do for you. By the way, tonight, you know what a witness is? It was somebody that was there when it happened and they saw it. Well, let me ask you this tonight. How many people we got in this tabernacle? You're saved and you know it and you're glad about it. Raise your hand. Can I ask you why? Because you know what happened. Let me ask you that raised your hand a while ago. Does Jesus save? Does Jesus forgive? Does Jesus change? Does Jesus set you free? Does hell move out and a dose of heaven move in? Do you get a new lease on life when you get saved? You really believe that? Oh, come on, you really don't believe that, do you? You know why you believe that? Because you know that. You saw God in your life. You felt God in your life. You've heard God in your life. You know He saves below the bottom. You know He saves the helpless. You know He saves the sinner. And you believe like this tonight. If God can save you, He can save anybody. And guess what? He can. Woo! Who better to be a host? Listen to this. Who better to be a host than somebody that's been hosted? You say, that's not proper English. That's good preaching. Who better to be a host than somebody that's been hosted? Now, most Baptist churches, if you'll go, you'll get roasted. But I'm glad there's been times I got hosted. Somebody poured their life into me. Notice the host in the text. He works at the command of another. He didn't volunteer for this job. He was commissioned and commanded by the Good Samaritan. The good Samaritan walks in and he's got the little boy in his arms and he sets him in his inn and says, you take care of him. It was a command. And I believe our Lord has commanded us to reach people and love people and help people and teach people and encourage people. We're not in it for us. We're in it for God and others. I was talking to these precious folks sitting down here, and they were here 27 years ago when I preached. I ain't changed, and they ain't changed, praise God. And I was picking at her and Brother Carl's wife back there. And she said they came to their house. They didn't even want them to come to their house. But they came to their house and kept on coming to their house. She said one night they came and they wasn't home and they drove around the block hoping they would leave. But they wouldn't leave. I'm gonna tell you, somebody. I believe in salvation by grace. You better believe I'm a grace preacher. But I want to tell you that being in your soul in heaven, because somebody impacted their life for the glory of God. I want to tell you, God is sovereign, but that does not relieve us of our responsibility to preach the gospel and be a witness and love others and pour our lives into them. I thought it was amazing to me that God used the analogy of a little baby to describe a baby Christian. We just had a baby born in our family. I am now, hallelujah, whoop, a grandpa. I got a little granddaughter, 2 months old. You say, why are you so happy? Several reasons. Number one, I'm glad I'm not in diapers with it. Can I say amen right there? As long as it took them, I thought I would be in diapers with the baby. Not only that, I'm happy because it looks like me. It's bald-headed. Can I get an amen right there? It runs in our family. That little old baby. There's nothing tonight any more helpless than a little old baby. Now, you ain't going to believe this about my grandchild. She's already read the Bible, sung in church, and taught Sunday school, and played the piano 7 times. No, you know I'm lying. She can't talk to me. She can't communicate with me. It has to be bathed. It has to be fed. It has to be changed. I don't know exactly when to leave. Bless God, I ain't changing the grandbaby. Can I say amen right there now? And I mean, it is so helpless. It can't walk. It can't talk. Brother Fox, if you left that little baby Michaela to herself, she would lay there and she would die because she's helpless without somebody that knows what to do. And newborn babes in Christ, they need a preacher. They need a teacher. They need a mentor. They need a partner. They need somebody that'll pray with them and read the Bible with them and love them and be kind with them and have compassion on them. It takes a while, but give God some time and some grace and God will make something out of their life. I got some members of my church, and I love them. I love them. But somebody can walk the aisle and trust Christ that morning. And if they don't come back that night acting like they've been saved for 40 years, they say, I don't believe they got it. I don't believe they got it. With that attitude, I'm not worried about that one. I'm worried about them. Little old babies make mistakes. Little babies make messes. Little babies start to talk and you can't understand them. You say, what's that got to do with a baby Christian? Well, you ought to be around some. They may wire something they shouldn't wire. They may go somewhere they shouldn't go. They may say something they shouldn't say. And that's where we come in. Not like a bull in a china shop, but a host. Put your arm around them. Show them some grace. Woo! Show them some mercy. They don't need the third degree. You know what I found out about people who's always willing to give people the third degree? They need somebody to give them the third degree theirself. I was at a camp meeting one time where they preached against everything. Everything. I mean, bless God, you named it, they preached against it. Preached against television and preached against the VCR. And then at the end of the revival, sold DVDs and VCRs of the revival. Time out. Only in a Baptist church where they preach against it and sell it at the same time. Well, I had to get a drink. You know that it was against Coca-Cola's too. And I'm just telling you right now, bless God, if you're against Coca-Cola's, you got too much religion. You need to backslide somewhere. And so there's a little store down the road, and I went down to the store, and up there behind the cash register, somebody asked me how old I was. I'm old enough to remember when people wrote checks. And behind the cash register was bounce checks. Four bounce checks of one of the dudes preaching against the TV and the VCR. Now look here, if you got a conviction about that, by all means, preach it, live it, love it, stand on it. But hey, don't preach against my TV and my VCR and you go all over the county and write bounce checks to everybody. At least be consistent with your legalism. Hallelujah, Brother Joe. Preacher, son, let her out there, boy. Woo! Brother, I'm not against somebody having more convictions than me. If you ain't got no more than I got, you in trouble. But I mean to tell you tonight, what's really going to make the difference in somebody's life is compassion and mercy and grace and patience, because newborn babes in Christ, they don't know what we know. They've not sat where we sat. They've not been where they've been. And if you're going to bring them, you got to start where they are. And aren't you glad when you were ignorant, weak, baby Christian, somebody was a host in your life. Woo! Somebody was a host. You talking about baby Christians. You need a few of them around to keep things interesting. Because there ain't no telling what they'll do or what they'll say. Every time I come to this area, I remember those early days when I preached over at Bethany. Brother Ray Vaughn was over there. And I was over there in the early 90s in a meeting. One of the young converts had just been saved, came in and went up to Brother Ray and said, "Oh Lord, preacher, oh God, I heard a man on the radio today. What a preacher. I believe if you'd get him, and here I stand now. And I believe if you'd get him, and here I'm standing doing my best. But I believe if you'll get him for revival, I believe revival, and here I stand now, just taking off. I believe if you get him for revival, oh God, it'd break out around here." And Brother Ray said, well, who is he? He said, "Oliver Green." He said, "Son, if Oliver Green comes, we really will have a revival. We'll have a resurrection from the dead." He'd just been saved. He didn't know. I got a friend of mine that has his prayer meeting on Thursday night. And I done told him, "Larry, that ain't in the Bible. One of these days, God's going to open your eyes and have it on Wednesday like Paul and Silas did." But anyway, he has it on Thursday. And I asked him one time, I said, "Why do you have your prayer meeting on Thursday?" He said, "Because we go out on visitation on Wednesday." I said, "Why do you go visiting on Wednesday?" He said, "You'll be surprised at who we find at home on Wednesday night." I said, "No, I pastor, I wouldn't be surprised at all. Can I get a witness right there?" Well, he's out one Wednesday night, goes to this guy's house. The guy comes to the door. He got hair down here, tattoos everywhere. Looked like he fell in a tackle box. And my friend got to weeping and crying, led him to Christ. He got born again. He said, "Now you need to be in church tomorrow night, man. Tell the church what happened. We'll baptize you." He said, "Man, I'll be there. I'll be there." My friend got ready to leave. He said, oh, by the way, he said, I play the guitar and sing. He said, you do? Yes, sir. He said, man, do you know any hymns? He said, I know one. He said, I know that one about angels. Well, you know, if you grew up around country gospel, and a guy says he plays the guitar and sings, and he knows a hymn about angels, automatically you think he's talking about, oh, come angel band. How many know that song? Well, he said, that'll be awesome. Can you imagine a man getting saved on Wednesday and singing and serving God and being baptized on, whoo, he said, this is going to excite the crowd. So he brought him up front, introduced him to the church as a candidate for baptism. Brother Brown said, before I took him back to baptize him, I said, hey, that ain't all, man. He gonna play the guitar and sing that song about angels. Go ahead, boy, sing for the Lord. So that boy walked up that guitar. He strummed that E chord real good and he started singing. I didn't know God made honky-tonk angels. I might have known you'd never. My friend jumped up and said, wrong song, wrong song, wrong song, wrong song. Woo! Only in an independent, fundamental, premillennial, temperamental Baptist church. You said, boy, I bet they throwed him out. No, no. He took him to the side and said, boy, have you ever seen the Red Book? Let me help you. That's been 30 years ago. That man's still singing gospel songs. In fact, he's passed a little church right down the road from where he got saved. Oh, they could have thrown him out. They could have laughed him off the promise. They could have been ugly to him. But they were a host. They were patient. And they were kind. And he's made an awesome Christian. I'm telling you, when God saves people, we need to be there for them, to love them and pray for them and help them and encourage them. And think about it tonight. Where would you be if God not sent a host in your life when you were a baby Christian? He works at the command and the call and the commission of another. And I love this. He even uses what the man gave him. Whoop! He even provided him what he needed. Said he took out 2 pence and said, in my absence, you take care of him. I'm glad before Jesus left, hallelujah, he gave us what we needed to be a host. His word and the promise of the Holy Ghost. He said, oh my, I thought you were a Baptist. I'm Holy Ghost Baptist. And so I'm glad with the Spirit of God in our life and the Word of God in our hand, we can leave this place tonight and be an example and be a help and be a mentor and a role model to others. Thank God for the hose. It's a place for the saint to exercise his responsibility. It's a place for the recovery of the sinner. It's a place for the responsibility of the saved. Oh, but number three, and I love this one. Notice what the, hallelujah. Notice, well, glory. Notice what the Good Samaritan said to the host before he left. He said, you take care of him. And I'll give you what you need to take care of him. And whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Woo! The last thing he said before he left, I'll be back. And when I get back, it'll be payday someday. Can I ask you a question? Does that sound familiar? Does that sound like somebody else you've heard before? Aren't you glad Jesus, our loving, faithful, gracious, personal, kind, merciful, hallelujah, saving, good Samaritan, He found us, He saved us, He took care of us, He brought us to an end and gave us a host, but He made us a promise, I'm coming back this way again. Woo! That inn is not only a place for the recovery of the sinner, it's not only a place for the responsibility of the saved, but it is a place for the return of the Savior. Hallelujah. You say, why is that? Because we're in the church and He's coming back for the church. Hallelujah. I'm paraphrasing, but I believe I'm right here. He said, son, I'm going away. And in my absence, you do what I did when I was here. Pour your life into hurting people. And I'm going to give you what you need to do it. And it ain't going to cost you to serve me. So quit whining and complaining about how hard it is to be a host. Because she said, I'm coming back. And whatever price you've ever thought you paid. Hallelujah. When I come again, son, hallelujah, I will repay thee. I want to say this tonight. Keep on loving people. Keep on loving people. Keep on reaching people. It's worth it in this world and the world to come. And when Jesus comes back again, it'll be payday someday. Let me say this to the host. It may not pay a great salary, but the retirement benefits are out of this world. Glory goes right there. Honey, I want to tell you, I'm looking for that Savior to come again. Notice in the parable tonight, who made this promise? The one that found Him. The one that loved Him. The one that picked Him up. I'm about to enjoy my own preaching right there. The one that poured it in. The one that brought Him to. The one that gave Him the host is the same one that's coming back again. Well, glory, guess who's coming back one day for you? Guess who's coming back one day for me? The one that found me, and the one that loved me, and the one that saved me, and the one that picked me up, bound me up, and brought me to and poured it in. I'm glad He's coming back again for you and me, for the church of the living God. In my mind's eye, and sometimes I got a wild imagination, but I don't believe this is too far out. You know, the Bible said when the Samaritan found Him, He was half dead. That means He was alive, but He was unconscious. In other words, He was not fully aware of everything that just happened to Him. I mean, you don't have to raise your hand. But how many under this tabernacle night, you were so ignorant when God saved you. Somebody said, what happened to you? And all you could say was what that blind man said. I don't know much, but one thing I do know. Whoo! I was blind, but now I see. I bet some of us were so ignorant we didn't know we'd been regenerated. We didn't know we had been adopted. We didn't know we had been son placed. We didn't know we had been baptized into the body. We didn't know that we had been sealed into the day of redemption. We didn't know that had been redeemed and sanctified and washed and justified on top of all of that. All we knew was we went down a sinner, and when we got up, we went there to fight. But oh my, that night, something got a hold. Hallelujah. I didn't know all the terms or all the details, but praise God, I'm glad. Woo! Something happened to me. Some ought to run backwards right there. Glory. But how many of you have enjoyed learning what happened? And how many of you, the more you learn, the better you like it? Well, little boy said, I didn't mean to get all of that, but I ain't canceling the order. Well, little boy said, I just didn't want to go to hell. You say, I think people ought to be saved for more than that. Well, can I tell you something? Right now, if the only reason why you can think of to be saved is you don't want to go to hell, that's a good one. He said, I just didn't want to go to hell. He said, but oh, Lord, I found out all of this in heaven too. And I believe when that old boy got to that end, he's still kind of in la-la land. What happened to me? But one day, Brother Fox, he came to himself. And how would you like to be in that house when that host tried to explain to him what happened? Because I'm from the South, I'm going to call him Bubba. I found out Yankees have Bubbas too, but they call them Bubettes. But anyway, his name is Bubba. I believe old Bubba woke up one day. Where am I? Who are you? What happened to me? Lord of God, wouldn't you like to have been a fly on the wall in that house? When that host says to old Bubba, let me tell you what happened. A few days ago, you were coming down that road out there and you had a fall. You fell among thieves. They mortally wounded you and left you to die. You was in such bad shape, you couldn't help yourself. And some religious people came by and they couldn't help you either. Son, this man came along that looked beyond your fault. It's all you need.
Amen.
This man came along that bound up your wounds and poured in the oil and wine. You'd have died if it hadn't been for him.
Yes.
And he brought you to me. And I've been trying to help you in his stead. I can't help believe how that old boy went, wow. Wow.
Amen. Yes.
Wow. You mean something like that happened to somebody like me? Yeah, boy.
Amen.
And I can't help believing that old boy went, oh my, I was so out of it. I wished I'd have said thank you. Oh, I wished I could meet that man sometime. I wish one day I'd have the opportunity to meet him in person and thank him for coming by.
Amen.
And I can see the host as he says, you're going to get your chance. You're going to get your chance.
Yes, sir.
Because the last... You want to run together?
How far?
Well, we'll talk about it. Because the last thing he said when he left, he'd be back.
Amen. Amen.
Bubba, when he comes back, you'll have a personal introduction and you'll be able to see him.
Amen.
You'll be able to thank him.
Yes.
You probably won't have a chance to hug his neck. You'll be too busy falling at his feet.
Yes. Amen.
And in my mind's eye, Pastor, I believe that old boy woke up every day. You know why the world calls us Christians crazy? Because we got that faraway look in our eye. Like, he ain't home. You got that right, baby. My soul, what are you looking for? It ain't what I'm... ain't what I'm looking for, glory to God. Don't tell some of my friends I just had a spell. Hey! Hey, it ain't what I'm looking for. It's who I'm looking for. The one that loved me. The one that saved me. The one that picked me up. The one that poured it in. The one that brought me to. I want to thank Him. I want to praise Him. I ain't got to like I want to. But one day I will. He's coming again. Hallelujah. So hang around at the end. You'll never know who's coming next. So you think I'm going to do? He left the light on for me. I think I'm going to leave the light on for Him. He don't need it. But I just want Him to know, when you call my name over here, here I am. And I want to thank Him for saving me. I don't know what we're going to sing when we get to heaven. The Bible said we're going to sing a new song. I ain't heard that one yet. But if it's any better than this one, it's going to be awesome. You ready? Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me Thy great salvation so rich and free. There's a roof up above me. I've a good place to sleep. There's food on my table and shoes on my feet. You gave me your love, Lord, and a fine family. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. The longer I serve Him, the sweeter He grows. The more that I love Him, more love He bestows. Each day is like heaven, my heart overflows. The longer I serve Him, the sweeter He grows. I ain't heard that new song yet, but if it's better than this one, it's gonna be good. Oh, I want to see Him look upon His face, there to sing forever of His saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. Cares all past, home at last, ever to rejoice. Hallelujah! Keep hanging around at the end and loving sinners and doing the will of God and looking for Jesus to come, because He's right around the corner. Woo! One more and I'll be done singing. If I can see Jesus smile, hear Him say, "Well done, my child," it'll be worth every mile of the trip. Hit me. Thank God for the end. The light's on. Come on in. Glory. It's just 5 to 8 in Alabama. 5 to 7 in Wyoming. And they ain't even woke up from being drunk out there in California yet. Let's just lift our hands and praise Him some. What a God. What a Savior. That He would give you and I a place in the wilderness to grow in the grace of God and to wait for the coming of His Son Jesus. Lord, we love you tonight. We thank you for the good word of God. We bless you tonight. We give you praise. And Lord, one day you're coming back to the end, payday someday. So help us, Lord, to be a good host and pour our life into others. And we'll love you tonight and we'll thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together tonight.